Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius. He scores! He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to another episode of Pick and Pod, WFUV's podcast for everything Knicks, Nets, and all around the NBA. In studio right now, Kurt George. I got a Knicks fan, got a Net fan, OKC fan. I finally got some diversity on the podcast. And a show that I'm like a-hosting
for. Dude's from the Bronx, and he's an Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah,
fan.
How does that happen?
Far away from Oklahoma City.
I've given
Russell Westbrook. Blah blah blah.
Exactly. I've given the backstory many times. You guys just need to understand. Why would I want to be a Knicks fan? Let's talk about that. Why do I want to be a Net fan? Come on, like I don't want.
Aura.
There's no good reasons to be a Knicks fan or a Net fan. Aura. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes. We also this got is the first time I'll agree with Kurt. Is that the Knicks and Nets
gonna be,
having?
And this is gonna be the last time he's gonna agree with you on this podcast. Sure. Just definitely. Wait. We also got Owen Kelty behind the scenes. You know, another Knicks fan legend. And something happened before the podcast. We're not gonna disclose it on the pod. But if you hear some giggles, just know about that. We're gonna start podcast talking about the Knicks. They are third seed in the East. I think we have established they're pretty. Pretty locked in with the top three teams in the East.
Stuck third.
Yeah, I want to say a stuck third. I don't think they're gonna really move up or move down the rest of the year. I'm not here to bash. I'm just.
Yes, you are.
I'm speaking truth.
The Pacers. I'll just get into this right now with you. The Pacers are probably not. The Pacers aren't gonna move up. The only team I see personally right now that might overtake the Knicks in the standings if they start losing games,
Milwaukee.
The Detroit Pistons.
Oh, for sure.
That's the only, they're
scary.
It's genuine that the Pistons right now are like going on. They're having an 8-game win streak. They beat the Celtics.
Low-key the best
something
team
the
in
Knicks
the league.
Something the Knicks could only dream of, and literally could go up to the third, maybe the third in no time if the Knicks keep losing. I mean, Alan Hahn,
Just correcting you, the Knicks did have a 9-game winning streak at the start of the season.
What happened to it? I mean,
the start of the season.
That was a great start of the season.
Owen, we are at the second half of the season now.
Second half of the season, they can't beat
you
teams
over 500.
You said
the Knicks couldn't get an 8-win game.
No, I didn't say they couldn't.
No, they couldn't beat the Celtics. That's what he said.
They couldn't beat the Celtics is what I said. You can't disprove me about that because you have blonde hair to prove it.
the very first episode of Pick and Pod this year turned heads, and that's what me, Owen Kelty, a blonde head. Knicks fan, but the real thing I want to talk about with the Knicks, like we see the wins, we see the losses. You know, last game was pretty good against the Sixers, but that was kind of, you know, expected. It was a little close one, but
good.
You know,
they were up by 18
at one point. They still were expected to win. You know, even though it got close,
you should be blowing that team out.
A win is a win at the end of the day.
Sure. Yes. W or L in the loss column into W. Yes.
And, you know, it takes the fourth quarter for them to really pop out like Brunson did, you know, dropping 34. But the real question I want to talk about is the 0-7 skid mark with the Knicks against the top three teams, the Cavs, the Celtics, and Oklahoma City Thunder. That's something to really look at when you want to think about the playoffs, you want to think about making it far in the playoffs. We can ride out the rest of the season and the Knicks can stay as the three seed. That's not going to look good for you guys once you make it past the first round and you have to match up early with a Cavs or Celtics team. So I know, George, me and you have back and forth fights against the Knicks and that I'm the delusional one and that the Knicks are,
you are.
This highly
you are
great team.
You are delusional.
I'm not. I speak truth. I see what they are. Look at your team, man. Like, Brunson, OG, Hart, Bridges, Towns. For some reason, there's been a lot of inconsistency between your two wing players with Bridges and OG. That's supposed to be...
Something's wrong with him.
Which one?
Bridges. Something has to be. Because his I was going to say OG because he's coming back from injury. OG's injured. That's whatever. But Bridges, there is something definitely wrong with him. Because I was talking to our producer Owen Kelty after their the 76ers game. Bridges was he had a good game too, but he was did, giving yeah. one word answers to Alan Hahn during the post game presser, like when he was coming off the court. Something's up in the Knicks locker room right now that wasn't there last year. The excitement about basketball seems like it's gone. But I don't know what it is.
I think I know where it is. Look at their record against the good teams. I think it's something with confidence.
I don't think they lost like the happiness with basketball. I think something's going on with Mikal Bridges personally.
I think it's going on not only with Mikal Bridges, but I think it's going on with the entire team.
It's like a virus around the team.
Because no, there is something wrong with what's going on, and I don't want to speculate, but I'm just saying in general that the vibes around this team right now, and even you saw in the roommates podcast when they were talking about how they were talking about it was Hart and Brunson were talking about how they can't win against 0-7 teams,
yeah.
And Brunson said, "I think we have the personnel." And Josh Hart was talking about, I might be misquoting, but Josh Hart was talking about how they feel like they lack the confidence or the ability. They lack the confidence. So you don't say that you lack confidence if there's not something going wrong in your locker room, because that's either the team, like the organization, that's your coaching staff, or that's just your personnel on the court with you. So there's something not right.
And you could be a great player like Brunson, Towns, like you're even an all-star talent. The minute that you lose confidence, you're shattered. It doesn't matter what the skill set you have.
Definitely.
If you don't believe that you can beat the best teams in the league, there's something that you have to figure out.
I think that's what it is, that they don't believe that they can do it. I don't know what it is. I think they might be taking like
I got something. You continue. I got something to say after you.
Go right ahead. I mean,
I was there for that Sixers game, and I was talking with you about it. I did think his answers after that that post game were a little short. I don't think there's a locker room issue. I just think coming off the Cavs and Celtics games where they got whooped in those games, and I do think they were definitely frustrated. And then in that Sixers game, they're up 19. They do blow the lead. They eventually Brunson has to come through and win. I think after the game, you know, everyone's just a little down right now on themselves. I don't think that it's a locker room issue with each other. I think more right now it's like a confidence issue with like just
but
how
that,
they're playing right
that
now.
Which boils over to the locker room.
But I don't think so. Looking at how he answers questions, too, Mikal Bridges has always been a weird guy in interviews, so he's been short with his answers. But I don't think it's a locker room issue. I just think after getting beat that badly, and what you're saying about Josh Hart, I believe he was just trying to say like they haven't lost confidence yet, and when you do lose confidence, that's when it falls apart. And I mean, if you look at those seven losses, only two of them have been close. They've gotten blown out, and I think that does take a toll on a team.
Yeah, that's another thing I want to mention here is that just let alone the back-to-back games of the Celtics and Cavs both being blowouts. To your point, like each loss against. I'll let you speak on that after this. Like each loss against the top teams have been close to blowouts, and that's one way to lose confidence. There's one thing to lose a game against a top team, and there's another thing to lose in blowout fashion to a top team. If you can't keep the game close, if you can't like at least make some noise in a fourth quarter against a good team, even if win or loss, that's where you kind of shatter the hope. When you're always getting blown out, that's when you know to yourself, like, I physically can't beat that team. Like, they're too good for whatever we have. If it was, like, a little close back-and-forth banter, you know, then that's something else you can think about in your head. Like, all right, maybe this time they got us. It was a close one. But next time, you can figure out something different, and the outcome could be different. But we've said this since the beginning of the year, and we're still saying this in the second half of the year. You know, when it comes to these big matchups in the East, the Celtics and Cavs. And listen, there's been many Knicks fans, many talks about how the Cavs, they could be frauds, they could be this great regular season team, and then the playoffs.
I've come around on that big time. I remember I said earlier in the year on a pick and pod that the Cavs, I thought the Cavs are frauds and they would slow down, and they are easily not that.
It's easy to say that in the beginning because I mean their success in the playoffs has been like. It's there. Like, it's just everyone knows about it, and they've always been this good team in the regular season. It's just their culture is different. You know, they're a totally different team. I think the Cavs trading for DeAndre Hunter in the trade deadline just made their team even better, and they just have an overall, like, starting lineup and bench unit that is kind of scary in the playoffs, even against a team like the Celtics, who came in as the defending champions with both the starting lineup and the bench. The Knicks team, I'm going to throw this question out to you guys too, and even Owen in the back. Like, we talk about the confidence being an issue. Could this also be an issue on minutes and just players are hiding injuries and players are just tired?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I get it. Like, earlier in the year, they lost games. You know, you might not want to put the blame on time and restrictions and stuff like that. But now that we're at the heart of the season, basically towards the end, you know, everyone's tired. We're talking about injury reports almost every day. There's Towns, Hart. We don't know when Robinson's coming back. He's supposed to come back during
the season. He's coming down tonight. He's coming back tonight.
Yeah, it's supposed to be tonight. It was supposed to be.
He's coming back tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight.
It was supposed to, he was questionable Wednesday, but tonight, I believe. He's not officially active yet, but.
Yeah, I didn't see nothing official, but. Tonight. I mean, that's going to be a big pickup for you guys. Starting lineup or bench. I see him being in the starting lineup, but still, like, you guys are battling some type of injury left and right, and that's kind of like, that was kind of the motive last year. Like, and that's what happened in the playoffs when going against the Pacers, and you guys thought your miracle run.
So you think it's like fatigue?
I think it's fatigue, and I also think it's also like hiding the fact that there's legit injuries that they don't want to like just silent themselves for. They want to just keep playing through it because it's just.
Well, there ain't no one to play if they're sidelined.
That's the point. They don't have anyone to necessarily replace these players.
Just got injured too.
Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks.
Torn meniscus too, so that's not.
They just went from.
He played so well that game too. And first career start, Terry meniscus. It sucks.
But also, just like, that's even worse for the Knicks because. Their size is so battered, pretty much.
It's negative right now.
There is no size.
There is no size. Precious Achiuwa is the starting center if Mitchell Robinson and Cat don't play tonight.
That's like when Bruce Brown played against the Bucks in the conference finals as the Nets starting center. Like, yeah. It's just not like it's not what you want to do in the playoffs. You could lose in the first round
because
of that.
They do gain access to that 15th roster spot today because they're under the second apron because they've hit that point in the season. So they can either sign. I believe Moses Brown, who's 7'2", has been cooking in the G League. They can.
We don't want Moses Brown. No. I've seen this. Or TJ Warren. Up close and personal. You don't want Moses Brown. Moses Brown is not an NBA player.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. But if you need size, I mean, Mitch, I think will be back tonight. And when you look at their injuries, I think Cat is a little dramatic in some of his injuries. I know his hand definitely was a big injury. I think his finger was the bone chip. But with his knee and stuff, it is a little bit overused. But I do think he has a tendency to maybe. Make things over dramatic. And then with Hart, he's always going to be banged up the way he plays, and I don't think his injuries are going to affect the way he plays down the stretch, but I don't think minutes have been a problem. Maybe now that, like what Kurt was saying before, with them being stuck in the three seed, I do think you need to start resting guys and playing them less minutes because you're not moving out of that three seed up or down.
This is how I kind of see things right now. Many analysts, many people have talked and basically said that when it comes to the Knicks, they have the most pressure on them to finish off the season.
Oh, they do. The Knicks have the most pressure to finish off the season.
That could also play to the conference level.
The main issue is this. The main issue is the New York market. One is the confidence level. Two, I wish I had the entire quote from the roommates pod. About what they were talking about with
just
confidence.
Just watch the pod, guys. Just watch the pod.
Great podcast. Best player podcast.
Yeah. But D'Angelo Russell's is actually pretty good. Of course. But he said.
Actually, I didn't even know he had a podcast.
It's actually pretty big.
Did he start it now, or did he start it when he was in LA?
When he was in LA, but like he's been growing it forever. Like he does it like with YouTube too. I don't like. He's trying to be an influencer more.
I think every NBA player wants to.
Hey, Podcast P retired, and then he dropped 25 the other day.
Hey, almost
in
beat
a loss.
The Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, he actually looked really, really good in that game. Like the Knicks blew that lead. That was a bad game for them. But I don't know. I don't think their confidence is shot.
The quote that I got is just the amount of times that we've been embarrassed on national television should be a wake up call. And then that's when Josh Hart talks about the entire.
That's a good point.
The Josh Hart starts talking about how they could take it, which is as a learning experience or as basically like a beatdown. And in my opinion, the Knicks haven't taken it as a learning experience. They've taken it as a beatdown.
They haven't changed. Look at every game. There's not a new motive. There's no new scheme to try to beat the team.
But,
you
Angel,
know?
Can I pose something to Owen? What have they changed when they've played these better teams? They've seen
that
Celtics
that was
three
the point.
times. They saw the Cavs three or how
twice.
Many times?
Twice. Well,
we played the Cavs twice. I do think the problem, though, with the Cavs is that this is the Mitchell Robinson, what he'll fix against them, is that no matter what we have healthy, like, we can't match against them with size.
But it's not only size. And they just have talent. Like, they could score at will, and they have really good defense.
Yeah, but with Mitchell Robinson back, his impact, I think, is being very underrated right now.
But that's not going to fix that you have the second-worst defense in the league.
It will. I think it will fix a lot of those defensive issues.
You go from second to third?
No, we'll become a middle-of-the-pack defense. He's such an anchor in that defense. Like, look at what OG and Mikal have to guard basically three or four guys out there because they have to guard their man and they have to make up for Cat and they make up for Brunson. Move Mitchell Robinson into that starting lineup, he's the anchor in the paint, and then Mikal and OG don't have to worry about the paint anymore.
So you're starting two centers or you're not?
Cat has played power forward most of his career.
Are you starting two centers?
I would start two centers.
I'm not saying two centers, sorry.
Two bigs.
Are you starting like how the Thunder start? How the Thunder
Chet
start?
And Chet and Iheart.
Yes,
I would say depending on
it's
the matchups,
it's not the same thing at all because Iheart can actually, Chet could actually play a really good defense and offense.
I would say versus teams like the Cavs, you start Cat and Mitch, and then teams versus the Celtics, you bring Mitch off the bench and have Josh Hart start, and it's just matchups based. You just how the game flows is who you put
in. I just feel like Tibbs is so solid in all of his game plans, even when. So
I think that's a fair concern. Like, I mean, that is
a
concern that he
won't change. So. His menu is set. Like, he doesn't change the menu.
That's a good point.
I think that's a very valid point. I mean, that's been a concern of mine all year.
He's like those Jersey diners that don't change anything.
But
ever.
I think we've seen some changes from him this year. I think the only adjustments of him.
The only change he's going to do is put Mitchell Robinson in starting lineup, I believe, because even in post-game comments, you've seen him talk about, like, we've missed our starting center for 50-plus games. That's a real big impact to us when it comes to, you know, the L's against the Celtics and the Cavs. And just to point out that you guys have two more games against Cleveland and one more game against Boston before the end of the season. And we're talking about, obviously, Mitchell Robinson coming back hopefully tonight or this weekend. These games that I mentioned are more towards in April. By that time you actually have a fully healthy team.
Yeah, and we always win that last game versus Celtics. It's a classic every year. They win three
of
them.
We
win the last game
of
the season.
The Nets?
Yeah, it is.
Last game of the season versus the Knicks will be resting starters in that
that's
game.
That's not happening.
Get ready to learn Landry Shamet for 44 minutes.
It's called the Nets have already done that before, so I don't want to hear it.
What, rested starters?
No, play Landry Shamet for over 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Tibbs would love to do that to him, but I mean, right now, I think it's just about getting healthy into the postseason because OG's banged up, Cat's banged up, Hart's banged up. I don't know.
It's really nothing else you can do because obviously trade deadline is done.
I mean, you can lose. I mean,
you can lose.
We can lose a couple of games and have them sit. Like,
imagine
realistically, what we're five ahead of the Pacers. Like, we don't need to win every game.
I'll be so honest with you.
I think we went 3-1 against them this year,
brother. I'll be so honest with you. If you do that, you won't like the confidence level of the New York Knicks.
It's gonna go down.
Probably would
more.
Not even exist because of the amount of slander that people would be throwing their way.
Yeah.
And
no,
I think
I
they take
that.
It a lot more. More than people think. I think these guys are on social media
because
a lot
there's
more
so
than
many
people.
Expectations
I think,
for you guys.
I don't think Josh Hart and Jalen. I think Mikal has taken a lot of. He's taken a lot
he's
of unnecessary heat on
well,
social
no,
media.
Well, no, he has not taken unnecessary.
I do think
well,
it's
he,
unnecessary. A lot
honest,
of it is unnecessary.
He's been bad.
He didn't trade himself for five first-round picks.
I understand,
he
but he
anyway.
Listen. He's been inconsistent. And listen, you're going from Brooklyn to New York.
That's New Jersey. Future Vegas.
Yeah,
team.
That's New Jersey. Yeah, that's
you're going from Brooklyn to Manhattan, still in New York, guys. But the expectations are now higher. You got traded to New York because people thought you were the missing piece for a championship team to basically make it to the Eastern Conference Finals because you guys missed it last year. And the motto of Mikal Bridges, he's going to play every day. He's not going to miss a game for you.
Iron Man.
He's Iron Man. He should be consistent. You're not asking for him to be the star anymore. You're asking him to be the third option, maybe even fourth option on certain nights because of OG. Mm-hmm. You're not getting the production that you should be getting from your wing players, so that's also an issue. You are hoping that Brunson and Towns kind of has their little pick and roll, you know, tandem and
Towns
kind
is
of
just not like that, though.
Play the all-star, you know, level that they were this year and kind of help you win the game at this point because the rest of your players are, they might play good, they might not play good, they might all play you know, decent. The they
issue,
might not.
But it's, the issue is that with that is I've seen it from my own experience. I keep talking about this on every single podcast I'm on. You could have the most efficient offense in the league. If you suck at defense, you're going to lose.
Defense wins you championships.
The Nets literally, when they had Kevin Durant and everybody, they had really bad defensive rating, and they had the number one offense in the league. And the whole storyline was, oh, if they can outscore every opponent by 190 a game, they'll win. Guess what? They lost, because that's just not how it works.
Lost because they played Giannis. Like, come
no,
on
no,
now.
They yeah, because they lost because they played Giannis. No, they lost.
That was generational Giannis performances there.
They lost because they didn't have defense to keep up when their offensive players went down.
But that's also, they and, went to game seven without Kyrie Irving and James Harden, or like with them always out. Like, that's
well,
that's just
because
not true.
Giannis,
like, they would have won.
That was because Giannis stomped on.
They would have won if they stuck with all
Giannis
offense.
That was Giannis stomped on Kyrie's leg in the middle and...
Yeah, all
and,
right. Forget about that, but you're saying like they
no,
would have won the finals
think,
that year
the
without
Knicks,
defense.
But I apologize, but I didn't want to say it, but
say it.
Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, and Karl-Anthony Towns are not Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden.
Why? How did Josh Hart become the third option?
Who's the third?
Mikal Bridges is the third option. Mikal Bridges is averaging 16 points
be,
a game this
let's
year.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest here. Mikal the third option, it's
Mikal
like
Bridges.
A game of
fan,
potato.
No fan, no fan thinks that he's the third option.
No. But here,
I
that's,
feel like,
that's
I feel
the
like
issue
no
of
fan,
your team. You don't
I think that every fan that is a fan of the Knicks thinks that Josh Hart, at least a casual fan of the Knicks, thinks that Josh Hart is some dog that, start,
no, no, no,
that
no.
is the third
every,
option.
No, Kurt. Oh, every fan thinks that the third
that.
Option
it's
Mikal is
Bridges,
Mikal Bridges.
And that's why he gets so much hate.
However,
he was put in that situation. It's his fault. And then he talked trash about where he came from.
This season started with Mikal Bridges testing out new jump shots. Do you think confidence was not an issue throughout the season for this man?
I apologize.
He's still rocking with
have,
the same form he went into the season
I
with.
Apologize. I would have more sympathy for him if he didn't talk trash about the team that he left from and then went complete garbage mode for the Knicks. It's just
man.
How things
it's
go
not,
things
like,
go around.
The idea
things
that he's
around.
Been garbage is insane.
He's an all-star level with the Nets. He's all-star level with the Nets.
He has been a good player this year, but because of what he was traded for and because he's on the Knicks, it's been so blown out of proportion. He has had a good season. It's been up and down. He's had stretches of really good. He's had stretches of really bad. But to say, like, this is a horrible trade
his
that's blown up in their face.
I never said it blew up in their face, but his expectations. And now you have to also question if he's going to get signed next year.
He's...
No, yeah, they're going to sign
he's
him.
He's going to get signed.
They're gonna sign
how
him.
How much money is he going to get signed
already,
for the Knicks?
He's already insinuated that he will be taking a pay cut to stay.
Well, he has to take a pay cut now after this year.
Okay, but Kurt, what
money on open market.
When Mikal Bridges got traded to the Knicks, Kurt, what were your expectations?
I didn't really have many expectations, I'm not going to lie.
Because just looking at stat-wise, like he's a 17.7-point-per-game scorer.
Angel,
you know,
Angel, I
three
watched
rebounds,
him
three
every
assists.
Single night. What I expected was that because he's not going to have the ball in his hand,
he's
not going to be able to score
yeah.
as much.
I mean, he's scoring and 17 a game as a third option. That's great.
36%
yes,
from three-point
yes.
land.
It is great. But also, like, his defense, I felt like, was even better when they were playing him in Brooklyn.
I think that is, if you have an argument that Mikal Bridges is disappointing, I don't think it's offensively.
I think it's defensively.
Yes.
And
perimeter,
I think he has
been
supposed
that's,
to be
that's
the best.
A more valid.
I completely agree. It's defensive. It's not. There's no way it's offensive.
If he's putting up 15 to 18 points a night, and that's what you want from him. But you also want that hardcore defense.
But he hasn't that's played perimeter. He was the best perimeter defense in the league with the best perimeter
also,
defender in the league with the Suns.
You argue this
and,
all
and
the time.
And he kept that with the
he
Nets,
Nick,
but
he
was
he
also putting
Nick
up 30.
And you, he had, with the Nets, he had Nick Claxton as an elite rim protector. Now they get Mitchell Robinson back.
Oh, thank you for complimenting.
I
Nick
do.
Claxton.
Nick Claxton is a good elite
rim protector.
And now we're getting Mitchell
right
Robinson
now.
Back. So I don't think
okay,
you
can but
that's
he's
just not true.
Yet. He's supposed to be a great perimeter
most
defender. Why do we have to worry about who he's paired with in a
most
center position?
Is Nick Claxton.
You know, like Mikal Bridges got traded to the Knicks for his two way abilities. Like
definitely been hurt by Jalen Brunson being a horrible defender. I think because he's always getting switched with Brunson all the time, and I think that is certain. But he's also had really good matchups against some of the best.
When you think about
league.
Defensive matchups, you're always gonna say that the best player in the opposing side, Mikal's gonna guard them, and you're gonna mix match with them and OG. You know, so like you would hope that Mikal Bridges can be a better defender, especially with the expectation that the Knicks were supposed to come into this year as one of the top defenses in the league. When you have players like Anunoby. Bridges, even Hart.
I love OG. I think he's so good.
OG's the GOAT.
He's such a good addition for this Knicks squad.
His
and people
shot
didn't know.
Is so broken right
well, he
now.
Well, I don't like that he takes those threes. I don't get it. I don't know
if
why
he's not
he
in the corner,
the need,
he shouldn't take him.
But I don't know why he feels the need to take these open threes.
I don't know. In the playoffs, he was cloaking
there's
those
I know
threes.
Tibbs is not telling them to take. I know Tibbs is not telling them to take those threes, and he, literally when he takes those shots, I'm like, great,
but,
free
but
shot,
Kurt,
free
this,
rebound.
This game is a 3-point shooting game, and the Knicks have no 3-point shooting. So I think
they
that's
have,
I think that's
Karl
why.
Anthony Towns is the best 3-point shooting big in the league.
Jalen Brunson's one of the best,
but he can't play three.
Towns is the only one at 40%.
Show it. He can't play on the perimeter right now because they don't have a center. He's playing in the middle.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, Towns is the only person on the Knicks team shooting 40%.
Personally, if I was Leon Rose, I'm trying to trade for some kind of center for Mitchell Robinson, even though he doesn't have value right now.
I would have at the trade deadline.
I think 100% he would have. If he had played the first half of the year, he would have been traded.
He
had zero value.
He needs to get traded.
It didn't even matter.
There's nothing they could get for him.
The relationship is over. This is like with Julius Randle when he got traded. I felt like the relationship was over then, and I feel like for Mitchell Robinson, the relationship is over.
I mean, I agree that I think after this season, if he had been healthy, he would have been traded. Like, I agree with that, but he had no value. They need to get something in
he
return
didn't.
For him.
They had no value for him at the
deadline. Still one of the best shot blockers and elite rebounders in the league, so why get rid of him
season.
For nothing? It doesn't matter. He misses every season, and he comes back, and he's
exactly.
Still. Look at last postseason, he was playing with a broken ankle, and he was still cooking Joel Embiid every
great.
Single game.
He was playing with a broken ankle.
One
great
player,
flex
listen.
For a guy who's been injured his entire career.
Exactly, he's always hurt, but he's still good while he's hurt, so who cares? Now he's healthy.
Mitchell Robinson is not going to solve all your problems, guys.
He's not.
He'll solve a lot of defensive problems.
He will.
Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Like, this is like when
look
I,
at Precious,
I texted
though.
You.
No, I'm sorry.
This is like when
look.
I texted Owen after they lost to the Cavaliers, and he goes, oh, no Josh Hart. And I said, Josh Hart ain't getting you 40 points. And then they played the Celtics, and then they also lost.
No
and
OG.
Josh Hart was
no,
playing.
No OG.
Okay, but this is another.
Yes, he was. No, he wasn't.
No, it doesn't. I don't think he was. But this is another excuse that I get from Knicks fans. It's always either there's a player injured, or when the team's healthy, there's a player who drops a bucket, just a donut. You
can't win.
And that's why they lost.
No, I'll agree.
Certain players score single digits. Certain players didn't play, so that's why we didn't win because we were fully healthy. Like, where does it stop when it comes to the excuses? When you have a fully healthy team, Brunson, Bridges, OG, Towns, Robinson, that's what I'm going to say your lineup is, with Hart coming off the bench, and then you have McBride and Precious, you actually have an 8-man rotation. That's not going to change your... That's not going to change anything against the top teams. That's what you need to be worried about right now. And honestly, going into the playoffs, that might not even have to be a worry, because look at teams below you that could possibly take you out, like the Pistons. I might even give
the Bucks.
I might even give the Bucks over you guys right now in a playoff series. Like, there are other teams you guys need to be a little bit more worried about right now. Even though your success rate against the
Kyle
top
Kuzma has
zero.
Been shaking
we're
in my boots.
The first round. We've had the Bucks number the last 2 years, and I am a little worried about the Pistons, but we're going to beat them.
The last 2 years.
And this season, we've beat
yes.
them every
do you know,
history
season.
Teaches. Yes, history teaches you how to. History teaches that things might repeat, but you know that these teams only get better. They don't just get worse.
History would say that you guys should beat the Cavs. I have not seen anything good against the Cavs for your season.
But also, just
team
like,
of playoff risers versus a team of playoff fallers, which is the Cavs.
The Cavs got so much
Kurt,
better.
Kurt's out here about to break his mic.
The Cavs got death. They got players that can defend.
They have Kenny Atkinson.
That was actually their big. That's actually their biggest pickup of the season was the coaching staff. That was their best move, and that's what changed the culture in Cleveland. That's why they're the number one seed right now.
They just outcoach people.
They do.
They
but
just
it's
do
not,
it.
It's not only outcoach, it's that they have the offense and the defense.
Outcoach, Tom Thibodeau is a top five coach in the league.
Goodbye.
Tom Thibodeau is not top five coach in the league. He's not top five coach in the league.
That's a bad take.
That is a terrible take.
I promise you he is.
He's not top five coach
yes,
in the league.
Yes, he is.
Are we talking about only in the East or the entire league?
Entire league.
That is a really
that's bad.
No,
that
it's not.
Bad.
He's
that's
not
bad.
Top.
He's,
not
he's,
top.
He's defensive minded.
No,
he's not.
If he was defensive minded, why are you guys
the players
worst
aren't playing defense?
Why are you guys one of the worst? Teams
it's the players.
Defense?
It's the players.
No, there's something wrong with the coaching.
There's nothing wrong with the coaching.
Listen, we can blame
the only thing wrong with the coaching is the minutes.
There's nothing wrong with the coaching, then why are they injured going down the stretch every time? Why do they get outcoached by bad teams?
It's not the minutes because you guys have had numerous opportunities against the Cavs and Cleveland.
I can name five coaches better than Tom Thibodeau off the top of my head.
I can too. Start naming, bro.
Are you kidding? Kenny?
Listen.
Jordy Fernandez, who has turned this Nets
wild.
I'm going to start naming teams that got better coaches. The Cavs have better coach.
Wait, you're actually kidding? Wait, no. Owen just said simmer down when I said Jordy Fernandez.
Jordy Fernandez is not a better coach than Tom.
Are you
not
actually kidding me?
You got to put some respect on Tom.
Listen, are you actually kidding me?
I know you want to show love to
your respect on Tom. No, that's not even me showing love. This is the best coach I've seen since Kenny Atkinson left the Nets, as well as the way he has turned this team around in a year. I don't disagree with that.
Listen, there's a chance, and
there is a reason they are hanging with teams that are over 500, and the Knicks can't.
We haven't even gotten to Nets yet. There's a chance they make the play-in because of their coaching and this new attitude.
Jordy Fernandez is not better than Tom Thibodeau. That's just false.
That's just crazy.
Tom Thibodeau does not know how to adjust and outcoach.
He doesn't adjust
than him.
And you said that earlier in the pod.
You're arguing like what Jordy Fernandez has done with the Nets team. Look at what Tom Thibodeau did with that 2020 Knicks team.
Okay,
exactly.
He hasn't adjusted.
We had a bunch of nobodies, and now we have a contender.
We are in 2025.
Yeah,
you guys still have not won
you
anything
did
with Tom
with
Thibodeau.
This is our first year of having a real contender.
Okay, and you guys see.
Give it time. I promise you, within 3 years, we're hanging up a banner.
I agree.
Do we want a championship now, or do we want to keep?
Wait, we have time.
Do you have time? We do have time.
Keep pushing it down the line. We are in a three to four year window.
5-6 years ago, we had Sasha Vujacic starting. Look at the turnaround.
Sasha
Vujacic.
Listen, you have a talented starting lineup. You still have no bench, no anyone past the top five.
That's why the window. This is why it has a 3 year window. They blew up everything to get the starting five. Now that the next few years they have to build.
Owen just
hit
it on the head.
Okay. You guys have a 3 year window. Great. Do you not think that other teams in the league are going to get a lot better than
the Knicks? No, because the Celtics are over the second apron, so they have, after next year, they have to either trade Tatum or Brown and move towards the Thunder.
They don't have to trade anyone.
They're
just
going to
pay.
Going back to this Knicks team, 2018 Knicks, Kadeem Allen. Who?
What are we talking
about? Okay, no, hold on. Time out. I don't think anyone disagreed that there was no turnaround with the Knicks. Obviously, the Knicks have become a better team throughout the years. The point we're talking about right now is, you came into the season with expectation to win a championship after training for Bridges and Towns.
I don't think that's the expectation.
That was everyone's expectations.
No, that's not true.
From the front office and this fan base,
the expectations were not to win a championship.
Wait, you didn't come into this year and say that you were going to think. They're not doing that either.
All right, that's your opinion, but the expectations
not doing
going
that.
Into this year were not to
the
win a
The way you guys are playing right now.
Making it to the second round right now is probably pretty good.
The ECF is high.
Yeah, it's high, but that is the expectations of this season. If they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals, it's a
bad
season.
Get ready for disappointment.
Okay,
but
so you guys
saying that.
So you guys make the Eastern Conference Finals. You meet one of the Cavs or Celtics. Is that still a good season for the Knicks?
If we make the Eastern Conference Finals and we lose the Eastern Conference Finals, that is a successful season because then you know what you need to build up in the offseason and get better.
You guys should already know what you need. You guys should already know what you need.
We know what we need, but we can't improve on it right now. You have to wait until
the
cap changes.
That was the mistake you guys did before the trade deadline.
We have nothing to trade, and we're right against the second apron, so we can't make any moves.
So who are you trading to get someone better? You got to trade Josh Hart.
Precious
Achiuwa?
We get money in the offseason.
But who are you trading?
We don't have cap space. We don't need to trade anyone.
Oh, you're just going to sign guys.
We're going to move Mitchell Robinson.
And who are you signing? Kevin Durant?
Colin Sexton will be a free
agent.
Colin Sexton off the bench. That's a bench scorer.
He's
going
to want a bag.
Colin Sexton.
We don't have the money to give it
you
to
don't
him.
Have
Colin
the money.
The money. Colin Sexton is going to want a bag.
We need the money. Mitchell Robinson makes $18 million a year. You leave him. Colin Sexton's not getting more than $18 million.
Okay, so hold on.
He's going to want more.
Okay, no, let's just agree to this right now. Let's say Colin Sexton wants to be a Knick next year, right? That was my question. You trade Mitchell Robinson, you get Colin Sexton. Now you're still guard heavy. That defense is amazing, right? Who's your center?
Is that not great? Trade Mitch and find a way to get Kessler.
You're going
to
get Walker.
You're not getting him for Mitchell Robinson.
You're going to have to trade.
You're trading your future.
And then you have to mortgage.
Yeah. You
guys, and that's also probably Josh Hart gone or someone like that if you're going to go get Walker.
The only reason why you guys got Karl-Anthony Towns because you had to make a sacrifice for one of your good players and Dante.
No. Yes. They got Karl-Anthony Towns because the Timberwolves
didn't want to pay him. Yes, they didn't want to pay him. They were ready to get rid of him. But the Knicks still has to give up a talent to get him besides Randall. And that's something you're going to have to do if you want someone like Kessler. Like, come on, man. You're not going to be able to trade Mitchell Robinson and then your future for this man. They're going to want more.
Isn't he on an expiring contract, though?
Walker Kessler?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so you're going to sign Colin Sexton and Walker Kessler that are both going to want big contracts.
Not going to sign Sexton because we don't need Sexton.
Sexton's gone.
Your boy over there behind the scenes wanted to sign the man, all right?
I don't agree with Kessler at all. Yeah, wait.
You mean Colin Sexton?
Colin Sexton, yeah.
Yeah, because you guys already guard heavy.
I don't agree with that at all. Yeah, and Kessler's on an expiring contract with a club option.
Great. Amazing. Yeah. So they're your biggest issues is you need wing help.
They have an extra year of him.
The biggest issue right now is that you need a real center. You need a real center that's not going to get injured every year, and you just need defense.
You need defense, yeah. I think that's what's going to ultimately be the downfall for the Knicks this year is your defense. We can all talk about the answers in the offseason. Right now, we still have a couple more games left of the season, and you're hoping as Knicks fans and as you know people who support the New York base that this team could do something and just ride it out to the playoffs like last year. But the way it's looking like right now, I wouldn't be happy right now with your team and your performance.
If I'm a Knicks fan, I'm not happy with it.
I wouldn't.
I don't know how you guys are saying that you're happy about it.
I don't know either, man.
Are you happy about it?
With this season?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Okay, that's one. Okay, Owen, time to lie.
Am I happy with how the season has gone? We're 39-20.
No, not how the season's going. Just like your expectations shaping up right now.
The current situation of how the team is, I'm frustrated with how they've played against the top teams in the league, but I'm not upset with how the season's been. I'm happy that we're 39-23rd in the East. I still think we have room to improve, but I'm not.
We have George, who's tosses T-shirts out in MSG, says that he is unhappy.
I'm not unhappy with how this season has gone. Besides how they've played against the top teams in the league, and I mean
that's what's most important to me. No.
That should be most important to anybody.
Owen. That's not what's important. What's important at all? What's important is how we play against the best because that foreshadows the playoffs.
It's not. I don't know. That's not fair.
And when you're 0-7 against. They're playing rock, paper, scissors out here.
Look how like other teams in the league, like you just have to get in the playoffs and then you see where you go from there. Certain guys are playoff risers, playoff droppers. Once you're in, it's a whole different game.
This is so ridiculous. These teams are 42-10 and they're a playoff dropper and they're just gonna automatically start sucking.
All I'm saying is Darius Garland has never had a good playoffs. I'm not saying the Cavs aren't gonna beat us. I'm not saying the Cavs are a bad team or the Celtics are a bad team. They very much could beat us, but you gotta wait for the playoffs to happen. Obviously,
we will wait for the playoffs to see it.
Obviously,
it's
I'm frustrated that they're 0-7.
I hope I'm on a
pick
and pot episode.
I
want to
see how the
playoffs.
Season finishes out, how Mitchell Robinson will help their defense, and see how it changes. We don't know what's gonna go on.
I was just talking the offseason. I was just saying. I think now it's more than ever. It's more integral that something has to get taken care of because one shoe has to drop. You can't tell me that a shoe is not gonna drop here. Someone's gonna have to go. You're gonna have to choose someone to go.
Yeah.
Someone's gotta go. If you want to have
of what,
real
the four of or the five of
yeah your actual start your
no,
actual five
that one
yeah,
of Mikal OG Josh
yeah one's got to go.
I'm sorry, it has to be Josh.
No, they would never. They can't,
absolutely,
gonna trade OG.
No.
You're not trading Brunson, and you're not trading Towns because you just got Towns.
If anyone's gone,
you have
anyone's gone,
three
it's Mikal Bridges.
No, I disagree with that.
After trading him for five
no,
years. You traded him for five picks, and you trade him after 1 year?
Financially, that wouldn't work. The only guy that
could move the needle is OG Anunoby.
You can't move Josh Hart.
If the Knicks trade OG Anunoby, I'm burning my jersey.
If you're
all my jerseys.
OG Anunoby
I'm,
burn,
I'm,
bur-
I'm burning
Giannis,
my ID. I'm burning everything.
You're not burning anything. You're only moving someone if you're getting a big enough return, which
they're
probably not going to. They're not making a stud move next
back
season.
Back up, but in one thing, in his defense, Leon Rose is a kind of a genius and the mastermind and the GOAT.
You know who the genius, the
genius
is? Sam Presti's a genius, all right? That's what I talk about.
Leon Rose is a genius.
You want to talk about GMs, all right?
Sam Presti's a genius. I'll give you that one.
I know.
Move on from the Knicks, please.
Yeah, let's move on.
We already have.
Let's move on finally from MSG. Let's go to Barclays Center. I know Kurt wants to talk about his
Oh,
Nets.
Yeah. I'm going to end up for this one.
Wait, do I pull up the snoring now or later?
I don't think there's any more snoring.
There ain't
snoring
no more
to
snoring,
be done, man.
Man, we've had some good games.
I know you guys are 11 seed right now, but checking the standings, I'm just saying it's kind of close battle, and I don't know why the Bulls are still
and
in
we're about
the
to give the And we're about to give the Pistons their first loss this weekend.
That's not happening. That's not happening. But
Cam Thomas is
back,
baby.
I'm confused with this Nets team. I'm going to be honest with you, Kurt. I'm going to show the Nets so much love, which never happens. But I'm so confused with this Nets team because they have been playing very well. And I'm so confused.
It's not confusing.
It's very confusing.
That's not confusing.
And it's very, and I don't know if they want to tank for Cooper or someone, or if they want to actually
compete.
At this, they want to compete. Point, we've talked about it on 101 too last week. Like, there's reports that Cooper might not even go declare. He might want to stay in Duke. But just
I'm
even,
not gonna get into
but
this
forget,
again.
But forget about Cooper Flagg and just any of the draft prospects.
You want to go and get VJ Edgecombe?
But the Nets are not even low enough to be even considered in the top five right now. So if you're only
a game and a half,
they have picks.
Yeah, Knicks picks. Yeah, you're gonna get
the 30th
pick in the first round draft no worries. Like, when it comes to the Nets only being a game and a half out, I might change the motive to like, it might be time to start playing.
Giannis could be added in the off season.
I'm not even thinking about
Did you see his top two landing destinations?
Yeah, Brooklyn.
Yeah, the Nets and the Knicks.
There's
a reason people want to be in Brooklyn.
I want to stay in too.
It's an awesome destination. Letting you know.
You guys have fun standing for your Brooklyn Nets.
I have to give support to the Nets right now because
you can't tell me that they haven't played awesome. And the next man up, like, I'll be so honest, I went into that game against the Thunder and I thought we were going to get destroyed. And they did not get destroyed.
Yeah, I was at the Garden and I looked and I was like, why are they up by like 17?
George texted me. I said, huh? I tried to score.
Because
like, huh?
The Nets weren't one. The one thing things led to another the entire
not
time.
For sure, yeah.
And that Nets squad. I don't know why everyone thinks they're a bunch of jokers. Maybe it's because they have not many people that people know their names. But guys like right now, Zaire Williams has been really good. And they haven't been at full health. I think if they
that's
were
been
at
an
full
issue
health,
throughout the season.
If
yes.
they were at full health against the Oklahoma City Thunder, they could have won. They would have probably won that game. Don't get me wrong. They had Angel. I was reporting on the game.
I know you
they
were.
Had,
I wish I was at the game.
They jacked up 61 threes.
No,
they
I
were 50% in that first quarter.
Your first half.
First
performance
half
was.
They
put
up 76%. Dayron Sharp was putting up 25 points and 15 rebounds. He was cooking
literally
the centers. He was cooking the Oklahoma City double centers.
It took a fourth quarter collapse for Brooklyn.
The only reason they were losing that game was because they stopped hitting the threes. That was literally the only reason that
you got to keep hitting your shots to win games.
I don't disagree, but you can't even attempt to rage bait me here with that because these guys have all come together and played really good team basketball that they've been led by Cam Johnson right now, D'Angelo Russell, who's now injured. You have Nick Claxton, who's been really good. He's leading the league in blocks. And now he has to stop getting flagrants because he was suspended against the Thunder. But you got guys like Keon Johnson that many people don't suspect averaging like 15 points a game. No. You have
when you have Killian Hayes putting up 19, the stars have to align.
He got Jordy Fernandez is a good coach. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
He's
been able to get the most out of the guys that people have just kind of given up on.
You have to give credit where credit's due. You know, Jordy Fernandez has been a reason for this new
attitude.
Not the
reason. He is the reason.
Okay, he is the reason.
He's
like this,
the reason.
There is this new attitude in Brooklyn. You have a bunch of, I think we said throughout the whole year, there's a bunch of role players, fringe all-stars, whatever you want to say, right? You never had that
fringe
one guy.
All-stars.
Okay.
Nick Claxton? Is he not a fringe all-star?
That was a funny one. No.
Are you
I don't know about that one. I mean, I would have said him.
Cam Johnson?
Cam Johnson could have been.
If Cam Thomas was playing the whole season, he is an all-star.
That I'll give you.
Cam Thomas, if he plays the whole season, he was eighth in points when he was playing.
Listen, it's no. It's
this guy doesn't know ball.
It's no right. It's no Nick team with, you know, two all stars and then, you know, fringe all stars on the starting lineup. But you guys
the whole
have
starting five.
You guys have players. Disagree. You guys have players that know their role in Brooklyn, and some can pop out when needed, and some don't have to. You know, so it's like when I look at the play-in right now, the only team that should not be in this situation, I think, after the trade deadline is the Chicago Bulls, which is the only team that is the first team ahead of Brooklyn.
They were selling too. Like
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
Like they were selling.
I don't see Chicago maintaining any status in the play-in, and that's what gives you room for Brooklyn to make.
I'm excited if the Nets get into the play-in. I mean, I think that they can ruin someone's season.
I see. Let's see. Like you guys can make the 10th seed. You play someone like the Magic, number 7, as the first game.
I think the Magic you're beating. Yeah.
Magic of beating.
I'm going to be so honest. If things go right, I could see the Nets in a winning a 7-game series. I'm not even being crazy about this. Like, what I saw when they played the Cavs, what I saw when they played the Thunder, this team has the ability. Well, the issue is that they play down to their opponents. It seems like when they play, like, the Wizards, when they played, like,
they do.
The 76ers.
Those are games you have to win if you guys want to even make
and
it.
And you can hear when they talk in the press conference is that you just need consistency. And this is a young team that might not have it yet. And I'm not saying that they're going to do it, but I can see a world where it can happen.
I mean, I won't lie. The rest of your schedule is not going to be easy.
No, it's hard.
It's going to be a hard schedule.
And that's just what it's going to be. And they're going to have to figure out a way to win games. And I have bought in. I bought in on this Nets team.
I've watched
everything. I think Nets fans I've seen.
I'm buying in for the 10th seed. I'm not buying in that they're going to go crazy. Like, because let's just say they make it throughout the play-in tournament. Your matchup with either the Cavs or the Celtics first round, like, they can probably win a game.
Do you think they got the Celtics in a 7-game series?
I'm sorry.
No.
Man, they don't.
They don't. I'm not being crazy about it. I'm just being
They can catch a game.
Just being honest that they can win.
A game.
Sure. They can win a game. They can win. I think they could win.
But that's,
I think if they catch it at a good day and they, so something that the
if the stars
Thunder,
align, they got them.
Something
that's,
that the Thunder's
that's
head coach,
that, that's what I'm hearing.
Something that Thunder's head coach, the Thunder head coach said during the game is that they, I forget his name because
Mark Degnolt. Mark Degnolt.
What a wonderful guy.
I love him.
Oh, another coach that's better than Tom Thibodeau.
That's the first guy I said.
He did say that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. What was I going
to
say?
I swear to God, no one knows how to rage bait me worse than Kurt.
Can't be on a podcast with Kurt Sipple.
But I think personally, if this Nets team gets the energy that they look for, like he was saying in the pregame press conference, that you can't let this Nets team get energy because literally that's all they run off of. That's what it is, in my opinion. Yeah. That it's all energy, and that's what they got. And to be quite frank with you, like ruining someone's like season, maybe winning a few games during like the play-in and then playing in a being in someone's hair and doing a playoff series, like it might kill Chris Carino, our very own, but because he wants them to tank. But in my opinion, I like watching winning basketball.
I agree.
Of course, I like watching winning basketball too. But
I'm
but
not going to root for my
team
to lose. Sorry, I'm
no,
a fan.
I don't think any fan is going to root for your team
no,
to lose.
No, of course
but,
not.
That's
but,
not true. But some fans do.
Going into the season, like you wanted to rebuild for your future and you kind of wanted to figure things out in the offseason. When it comes to now this new situation the Nets get themselves into, where it's being only a game and a half out from the 10th seed and not even really close to like a top five, you know, lottery pick, me personally, I would start winning now instead of trying to tank or rebuild,
but
you know,
not?
Build something.
It brings culture.
No, I know,
but listen,
if you guys,
when I was at the Thunder game,
yeah,
like entirely, like I saw like the fans being coming out. Like this is something that you don't get to see so often when you get a losing basketball team. No, that's not true.
Yeah,
they've been
Barclays Center, you could hear a pin drop.
That's just not true.
Unless it's a Liberty game.
It's not true.
They are allowed.
Just yeah, yeah. True. They packed that place out.
Just not true.
No, I'm just hating.
I was at that game.
I'm just hating.
They were. I'm not going to take the rage bait because I'm at the games. Y'all not at games.
I'm
you can't
there.
Tell me. As Chaz says, you don't watch. But fans are out. They're entertained. They are
entertained. Yeah. When it comes to net fans, you want there to be a nice environment in Barclays Center. You want them to actually believe in the team. So if you're gonna continue this winning streak or you're winning ways and actually bring a playoff game to Brooklyn, now that brings you into different conversations in the offseason. Now maybe there's players that actually attract themselves to Brooklyn. We kind of mentioned
Giannis.
It. Yeah, I was to say, like, we mentioned it a little earlier, like Giannis.
Giannis has maybe, a good relationship with the fans in Brooklyn too.
Maybe he wants to get out of Milwaukee. Brooklyn
he does
could be
want
an option.
To get out of Milwaukee.
All right.
Well, I have a question opposed to George.
Oh God.
Why do all these superstars want to go to Brooklyn instead of the Knicks? Oh, I thought
now he wants to go. He wants to go to the Knicks.
Well, no, he wants to go. The Nets are the high option right now.
No,
they are. They were the minus.
No.
I'm not wrong.
The Nets were minus 300. No, what minus 400? Knicks were minus 300. Or
yeah.
it was
so
one
why
of those
these
two.
Superstars,
do you,
so
do
why
you know why?
Superstars
no.
Don't want to go.
You know why
the,
I can't go
New
based
York
off the
Knicks.
Vegas odds? The reason
because
why
because that's all fraud.
No, Vegas odds are weird.
Well, now they're weird,
just,
but like
I'm just letting you know,
Brooklyn
there's
has
a reason.
Brooklyn has more assets to give to Milwaukee to actually pull off a trade than the
that's
Knicks.
That's not why.
That's
not why.
That is why. That is exactly why.
It's because team
Giannis,
entire.
Giannis.
It's because team entire better organization.
Better organization, possibly, but the better team is in New York Knicks. I think Giannis would rather get traded there, but Brooklyn has more of the assets to actually pull off the trade than the Knicks. So I gotta give them that.
Just letting you know, this Nets team, I've bought in. I'm excited to watch what happens.
I'm bought in too, man.
I'm excited that Cam Thomas is back and the scoring is coming back. I'm even more excited that they're going to get more healthy. Claxton's back. He can't get more flagrant. Nets fans that want Nick Claxton or De'Ron Sharpe to get traded, why can't we have both? They're one signed already, and De'Ron Sharpe is young. This is just my own prerogative, but Nets future. Nets raising a banner in 3 years. Been saying it. It's happening.
Oh, buddy.
Goodbye now.
Oh, buddy.
Let's move on.
There's going to be no Brooklyn, no New York banner within the next 3 years, guys. No.
There's a Nets banner in July 2027.
July 2027?
No, just 2027.
2027? Nah, you're not.
So you're saying by the time you graduate college?
Yeah. There will be.
You're bugging.
There will be.
You're bugging.
Just wait.
You're nuts.
We're gonna move.
You'll be at the parade with me, George. I'll put you on the
I will personally
you
be there.
You have my word. If the Nets raise a banner, I will go to the parade with you.
Just shook his hand.
We just got a handshake here. I'm taking
pod. And bookmark it for when it happens.
I wish we recorded for purposes, you know.
But yeah,
we're gonna
move on
from New York. Let's stop talking about Knicks Nets. We want to help Owen out behind the scenes. Real quick, we just got the news a little early before the pod started. Joel Embiid is out for the rest of the season. You know, he's been battling injuries with his knee.
Wouldn't it have been funny if the Knicks traded for him?
That was supposed to happen.
Thank the heavens. Holy.
They were going to
make that
future.
Christ. They
would
make
God.
That trade.
So funny.
Like, hindsight on
he
the paper.
Been, he would have been healthy. Tibbs would have made sure of that.
Tibbs would have killed
his
knee.
For 50 minutes a game.
Tibbs, yo, Embiid playing 40 minutes a game, he might have died in the court, guys.
Listen, I understand the Embiid slack that he's just like kind of a clown. And yes, he is kind of a clown. But
he's a fraud.
I don't think he's a fraud.
When he's healthy.
But I don't love
he's a top
I don't best, listen, listen,
the
I don't
best
love
stat
watching,
is availability.
Yeah. But I don't love watching injury. I don't love
oh,
watching
for sure,
injury.
And I agree with that.
I don't like wishing great players injury because it's just not like it's not fun for the game
no,
when
it's
great
not.
Players are injured. And it's not fun when people can't be competitive because those great players are injured. Yes, it's funny because it's Philadelphia. Yes, it's funny because
Paul
Joel
George.
Embiid sucks. But
that team
I'm,
wasn't doing
I'm,
anything.
As
that,
a
that
basketball,
anything with Paul,
as
with,
a basketball
with
fan, as a basketball fan, I would love to see everyone healthy and everyone competing.
Oh, of course. Of course. I fully agree with that.
You have to... Embiid was MVP for a reason, guys. Like, he was the...
But
he is...
Talent is
one
there,
of,
but no matter what,
no matter what
that Philly team is whack.
I don't
no
know
matter what,
whack.
Oh, watching Paul
that
George play basketball,
I mean,
watching Paul George play basketball made me want to rip my eyes out.
I won't lie. Watching,
I like Paul George. I've always liked Paul George.
You still like him?
Listen, man.
I've never not liked Paul George.
When Paul George was playing in OKC,
he has like two.
He was MVP
good,
candidate. Okay.
He has
OKC.
He has two good Indy. But pre-injury, Indy Paul George was.
Even I'm telling
just
you,
Paul George was fun to watch.
He was an MVP candidate in OKC.
I apologize, but Paul Los George Angeles. Was just fun to watch.
He was. He's now it's not that anymore.
No, I get. Listen, I get it. This year was
he's old.
Was bad. This year was very inconsistent for him. He kind of looked like Tobias Harris, a little bit for Philadelphia. But when you look at the talent that they have, if they could have stayed healthy, things could have been different. All right, Embiid, Paul George, Maxey, things could have been different for Philadelphia. And that's where I'm kind of like, you know, upset that I don't get to see the full potential of this team, because I'm not saying that they would have given the Knicks, Celtics, or Cavs a run for their money in the East, but they could have definitely been a top 4 or 5 team in the league. And I want to see the best players in the playoffs and them playing.
Of course. I agree with that, but I just also have like a blood feud with
understandable. Like, I mean, listen, I think all of us New Yorkers here, we have some agenda against Philadelphia.
Of course, it's in our blood.
Doesn't matter what
it's
league it is.
Not a real agenda.
It's in our blood.
Listen, we don't like Philadelphia out here, all right? It's true bad blood. Yeah, like when it comes to Joel Embiid in that situation, it was time for them to kind of move on, just sit him out for the rest of the season, because if it was injuries or if it was just lack of playing time between back-to-backs, something was not right with the man when he was on the court.
Definitely.
And you had to shut
him
down.
His knees aren't right is the issue.
No, it's not.
But look, when you're talking about the Sixers, they weren't going to compete even if he was playing, because Paul George is not a valid player anymore. And of course, you want to see all the best players play.
Yeah.
But that team wasn't going to compete in the first place.
It got to a point where they are too far away from a playoff positioning.
Definitely.
But, I mean, looking at them right now, they're only 2.5 away from the 10th seed if they really wanted to keep trying.
They shouldn't.
They should wait, take it
slow.
They know.
Lose games. Ethically lose games.
Exactly.
Not go out and put your whole G League squad on your NBA team and sit the good players.
If you would have kept on trying to play Joel Embiid, it would have the injury more.
And
it would have been
then,
bad.
And then tanked, completely tanked his value.
Exactly.
And you would end up getting a bag of peanuts for him instead of like a mansion.
Now you trade him. It's over. You trade him.
Yeah.
You move on.
I mean,
and you figure
I was gonna say like
out.
You pay the man. You shut him down now. Hopefully, you can find some type of solution the offseason for
things
his knee.
Things got to change.
I think they might want to run
process,
it back.
The process is over.
They might want to run it back next year. I think they really want to see 1 year of these three
the
guys
process,
playing.
The process is over.
You might. I think you'll see a Joel Embiid trade around a trade deadline than you would in the offseason.
Oh, no. Definitely during the trade deadline, but the process is dead.
No, the process,
it is,
the
dead.
Process is dead. I mean, Embiid was supposed to be your answer for many years, and there's players drafted after him who have played more games than him.
It's dead. Wrap it up, fix it, figure it out somewhere else.
I read a stat, and it was like he played 40-something out of like the last 90-something.
Yeah.
It was like some crazy stat.
He's sat down more games than he has played games in his career. I think that was
one of the stats.
I don't know the exact numbers, but it was something like that. Embiid just needs to find a way to get healthy. I mean, he played for Team USA while recovering from his injury, and I think that's what hurt him the most.
I don't like that he was even allowed to play for Team USA.
Why?
He's a United States citizen, dude.
But, back up.
I can't do this. No.
Wait, hold
no,
on.
No,
is this
no,
about
no.
hold on? Is this about maybe injury?
No.
Or is
no,
this...
no, 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 no. This is about like the qualification for Team USA.
Okay, now I need you to explain because like...
because he played he was playing for I think Cameroon, and then
well,
and
I mean he's from
I know.
Okay.
I know. He was playing for Cameroon, and then because Team USA was winning and Cameroon wasn't, he decided to just go switch. And that's what I don't like.
Well, I mean,
he's either gonna play for us or he's gonna play for France. So he could be happy about it, or he could be really sad about it.
Yeah, like I mean, he was gonna be in a good situation.
It makes no difference. He's a United States citizen, so it makes no difference.
I would say the argument with him not playing for Team USA is that he should have been recovering from his knee injuries. And
oh no, that's true.
And that I think that's the valid.
He made like
here.
Some stupid point about. That he's doing this for Philadelphia and they have to wait. They've already waited 10
they
years.
They waited a decade basically for this man.
Bring back Dr.
J. He also didn't play the first 2 years of his career due to injury.
Yeah, I mean,
and Shirley Temples and Nutella sandwiches were helping him out a lot.
I remember those days. Listen, a good Shirley Temple, though, I might take me over. I won't lie.
Joe Embiid was, too.
I won't lie. But I, as a basketball fan, I'm hoping that they find an answer for this man because at his best, he's giving you 40 and 15, 30 and 20.
To enjoy
basketball,
it's better that everybody's healthy. And it's better,
especially in the East. The East is kind of wide open. Like,
even though I don't like him, and there's a lot that I don't like about him, his pure basketball skill is really fun to watch.
Yeah.
And it's a really exciting when he plays. That's it.
Philadelphia next year, if they can be healthy, they can fight for a top five seeding. I'm going to stop there when it comes to the Embiid news. We know that his season is done. That might be an indicator that Philadelphia is going to kind of tank the rest of the season, just worry about the offseason in their future and next year, and hopefully things can turn out better for them in 2026. Before we kind of wrap up this podcast, I kind of want to get into, you know, we are at almost the end of the season. We've seen a couple games now post-All-Star break when it comes to new-look teams like the Warriors. You know, Denver's been a great run. OKC's still on top. Cavs are still on the top. I just kind of want to get a take from you guys real quick. Like, what's a team to look out for going into the playoffs who might not be in the playoff contention, if it's play-in, or who might be a top team? Just who would you say can make a huge run going into the
finals? Call me crazy, but I like the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's not crazy.
I mean,
they're second in the
West. I know, but they have barely any play. They don't have a lot of solid.
Jaren Jackson Jr. is currently 10th in MVP, like MVP.
Oh, I know.
He should
be
defense player of the year too.
But I'm saying, like,
they don't have nobody.
They don't have like playoff experience that other teams.
That does not. They have.
Yes,
they have
do.
Playoff experience.
Yes,
the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Not any deep playoff runs.
That doesn't mean it. Neither do the Knicks.
I mean, there's many teams that don't have deep playoff runs.
That doesn't mean absolutely. That means
absolutely.
Wait, hold on. Back up. The Knicks do.
When?
Mikal Bridges played in the finals.
Okay.
Jalen Brunson played in a Western Conference Finals. Cat played in the Western Conference Finals.
We were talking team, not.
No.
Player wise.
No. Back up.
No, we're talking player wise.
No.
Because that works with the team.
Hawk Porty. Oh yeah, he had what?
Didn't Precious hold on back up? Didn't Precious win a ring?
Yeah, he was
OG
playing.
OG won a ring. Yeah.
OG won a ring.
Precious, I think
Precious
did.
He might have been.
He may have. Been.
No. He was drafted a year after.
I'm just saying, if we're talking playoff caliber, like this Grizzlies team is still pretty good.
No, yeah, they are.
No, for sure, they're a good team, but they don't have the playoff pedigree experience that
sure.
That other teams, the Rockets, of course. I like the Rockets. I like Alperen Şengün.
Listen,
the Rockets are gonna be good.
I'll leave my take for last, Kurt. I'll let you.
And
Pistons.
Me,
hold on, last one, Pistons.
Give me the Pistons.
Yeah, Pistons.
And give me the Bucks.
The Brooklyn Nets.
Well, give me the Nets too.
Give me the Nets.
Brooklyn Nets raising a banner.
I like the Pistons. I do like the Pistons. They're grit. They can upset a team in the East.
And give me the Bucks because they're always gonna be pretty good.
Yeah,
if you have Giannis on the team, that's just usually what happens.
A healthy Giannis can make or break a series. Real quick, as we kind of wrap up, my team. Listen, I would be scared to face the Warriors the first round or second round.
Forgot
of the
about them.
Like, I didn't think much about the Jimmy Butler trade.
Curry put up 56 last night.
I know, against Pablo's 41, and the Magic were beating them most of the game until the end. So, the Warriors are, in my opinion, a legit team to actually, you know, kind of be scared of in the first two rounds of the playoffs, because anything can happen when you have Curry on your team and Jimmy Butler changes.
Yeah, playoff Jimmy turns into MJ. So like,
but that's gonna wrap it up for us. That's gonna do it for us with this episode of Pick and Pod. This was a long one, lengthy one, because when you have Knick fans, there's always gonna be some type of banter on these podcasts.
And then when you have Kurt out here,
it's always a podcast or one-on-one when we have these things. But you know, that's gonna wrap it up for us. It was Kurt, it was George here in studio, Owen behind the scenes. You heard a little bit from him as well. Make sure to catch us next week for another edition of Pick and Pod.